whoever finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of God, are the words that we read in Proverbs 18:22. So, gentlemen, if you found your wife, you have found a good thing, and you have obtained favor with God. I feel that the sermons in this current series are of the most important subject matter than the American people could study and observe. Because indeed, the homes that dot our countryside, from the mountains to the prairies to the oceans filled with foam, indeed must be homes where God is in control and where God is in the home, where three people have come together, husband, wife, and God, in a special type of union. It's the kind of a union where it is all for one and one for all. And it's like the plaque that's in our kitchen that says, each lives for the other, and all live for the Christ. We looked last week in the book of Genesis, and we read these words, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. And God created them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. And then God also said, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and they shall become one flesh. He shall find his wife. And God ordained that this be. And so whosoever finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor with God. The scripture is full of admonitions of husbands, and they are scriptural admonitions that we want to look at this morning. In one paragraph of review, we looked at the subject of how married people can be happy. We stated that marriage was a career. It was a career. And that the prime factor in happy marriages, of course, is love. But there were some other components of happy marriages, and they were God, the religion, contentment, appreciation and understanding, and expressions of love. Now we come to the second phase, the duties of a husband to his wife. In Proverbs 30, verse 18 and 19, the words are these. There are three things which are too wonderful for me. No, there are four things which I just don't know about. Number one, the way of an eagle in the air. Two, the way of a serpent upon a rock. Three, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea. And fourth, the way of a man with a maid. Duties of husbands to wives. And the old-time preacher of more than 100 years ago said, a good wife is heaven's last and best gift to man, his angel of mercy, his gem of many virtues, his casket of jewels, her voice, his sweetest music, her smile, his brightest day, her kiss, the guardian of his innocency, her arms, the pales of his safety, her industry, his surest wealth, her economy, his safest steward, her lips, his faithful counselors, her bosom, the softest pillow of all of his cares, and her prayers, the ablest advocates of heaven's blessings on his head. If you have a good wife, you are a blessed husband indeed. It's God's plan that you have a helper. But to have a good helper, you yourself must be a good helper. And now that you've found her, you must never let her go. Never. And you must discharge the duties that a husband owes to his wife. Now, first of all, what does this word husband mean? The word husband literally means the band around the house. Not a musical band, but the band around that house. Like a historical rock that needs to be preserved and is cracking, a band is placed around it to keep that rock in place. So a husband is literally the band around that home. Like the sheath that holds the corn together. It's like the frame that holds a puzzle together. That's the husband. In many cases, the wife has to play the role of the husband. And oftentimes the married man who has a host of unkept habits strips his home of all of the comforts and indeed is not a husband. Well, in the legal sense he is, but in no other way. If Christ is the welcomed guest in your home, if Christ is the silent listener to every conversation, then happiness cannot be far away. If in your home, husbands, you love Jesus, then you are going to have a Christian home if you set the example, which we'll talk about in a moment. If indeed your wife is a Christian, then there is religion in your home, and that presupposes prayer. Let me ask the question. How can two people be estranged one to another? How can two people maintain a disagreement with one another when they're praying for one another? Now, what does the Bible say that we as husbands have as duties to our wives? The first is found in Ephesians chapter 5, 23. And again, these are God's words. And it says very clearly here that the husband is the head of the wife. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, 3 again, the husband is the head of the wife. The Christian idea or view of marriage has been accepted in the world, even if the practice has not been maintained, and indeed it has fallen short, very short of the ideal. But the ideal has been always kept in the minds of men, at least in a Christian situation. And the scripture says that the husband is the head of the wife. Many marriages have been destroyed by unwillingness on the part of the wife to accept this subordinate role. But it's God's plan. The husband is the head of the wife in the choosing of his profession. The husband, the wife follows. In the choosing of a home, the place where you're going to live, the wife follows. Now, however, the sensitive husband reads verse 21 in the same chapter, which says that one is to be subject one to another. And so he doesn't rule his wife, but he counsels with his wife. The love of the wife must be in the heart of the husband. Then he considers his wife. There is a mutual subjection because the husband accepts the wife as a you, not as an it. The husband is the head of the wife. But there's much more than meets the eye right here. And here's what does not always meet the eye. In the first place, the basis of this passage is love, not control. Let me repeat. The basis of the passage is love, not control. The emphasis on love, and this is important. Someone has said that the husband is the head of the wife. This is true. Paul said it. But he also said that the husband must love his wife as Christ loved the church, with a love that never exercises a tyranny of control over his wife, but instead a love which is ready to make any sacrifice for her good. And so the first duty, according to the Bible, is the husband is the head of the wife. Secondly, if we husbands are going to realize that we have duties to our wives, then it must include duties to our children. And the admonition from the scripture in Proverbs 22, 6 is this: train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Husbands, we have a responsibility in the home to help train the children. It's not the wife's job description alone. God is asking for five most wanted men. And here they are, gentlemen. Number one, the man who puts God's business above any other business. Two, the man who brings his children to church rather than sending his children to church. Three, the man who is willing to be the right example to every boy he meets. Four, the man who is more concerned about winning souls to Christ than he is about winning worldly honors. Now, husbands, we have the admonition in the scripture to raise our children, not just the wife. And this means we are to cooperate and help in all that she has to do in raising the children. This means changing the diapers, it means giving them the bath, it means giving them the medicine when it's around the clock. It means going out of our way, if need be, to do what is the duties of a husband to a wife. After all, the children are ours. Here's a father's prayer. Dear Lord, my little boy of three has said his nightly prayers to thee. Before his eyes were closed in sleep, he asked that thou his soul would keep. And I still, kneeling at his bed, my hand upon his tousled head, do ask with deep humility that thou, dear Lord, remember me. Make me, kind Lord, a worthy dad that I may lead this little lad in pathways ever bright and right, that I may keep his steps aright. O God, his trust must never be destroyed or even marred by me. So for the simple things he prayed with childish voice so unafraid, I trembling ask the same from thee. Dear Lord, kind Lord, remember me. Husbands, this is a duty to our wives. It's a family type deal. It's the type of duty that we have in handling the children, taking our fair share of the responsibilities and backing her up. A third in the list of four duties is this. From the book of Galatians, the word is in chapter 3, verse 19. This is a good one. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Don't be harsh with them. Stop being harsh or hasty at quarrelsome, another translation of the Bible has it. He is saying, husbands, love your wives and treat them with gentleness. Severely love one another. Severely love your wife as you do yourself. I'm reminded of a minister that constantly went around telling people in the congregation as husbands to love your wives. Remind them, show them your love. Keep on being that sweetheart that you were. Carry on what you did in your courtship. Give her the gifts, the expressions of love which were used in the days of courtship, and keep on courting her even though the knot is tied. Take her flowers. Bring her a box of candy if she's not on a diet. And kiss her when you leave for work, and kiss her when you come home from work. And the people snickered. But do you know, some of those husbands started doing this. And more than one wife came to him and said, you know, it works. It works. Moral obligation on the part of a husband can be met, can be fulfilled, but yet the union of these two, husband and wives, can be marred by an irritable spirit. And this is a very common fault. An irritable spirit. Do you ever get grumblesome, man? An irritable? The story goes like this. My tire let loose its air, and so I had to stop and get it repaired. Next to the service station was the home where the man resided, and then next to it was a very nice flower garden. So I walked over to it, admired the pretty flowers, came back and chatted with the man. He talked about the flowers, and he talked about his wife. And then he went on to say, you know, I have quite a temper, and it sometimes flares up. But when I feel out of sorts, you know what I do? He says, I take my cap and I turn it around backwards. So when I go home and my wife sees that my cap is on backwards, she won't ask me a thing. But that's not all. Sometimes my wife has a temper. Well, when she's out of sorts, she takes her apron and tucks one corner up and doesn't say a word. And when I come home and I see that apron tucked up, I don't ask her a question. I'm telling you, when we come home and the hat's backwards and the apron's up, nobody talks at all. But we've learned. And you know there's something to this. You may have a method, husband, friend of mine, that's not as crude as this. But husbands get irritable and cranky, and it's a common fault that mars the balloon, bursts the balloon of the marriage. We've got to be sensitive to this. And I must not pass without saying the word nagging. If we're to husbands love your wives, this means we must not nag. Wives are not the only mate that nags. And we should realize that we do this, and it's a sharp instrument also in this balloon. If a husband is going to love his wife, he's going to give physical assistance, because the scripture says, wherefore a man cleaves to his wife, and they become one. And this means they bear one another's burdens. It means other things, man, if you're going to love your wife. It means you're never going to ask her an embarrassing question in public. It means you're never going to contradict or correct your wife, even if she's wrong, in public. It means that you'll never use the word mine when you could use the word ours. It means that you'll never appear curious about the other partner's mail or telephone calls. It means you'll never blame or criticize her until, first of all, you have found something to praise. It means that you'll not forget the words of the Bible, that the soft answer turneth away wrath. It means you'll never speak slightingly of the other's parents or relatives. It means that you're going to love her. And the scripture says, Galatians 3:19, husband, love your wives. And I think that all of these things fit into this package. I must say it means spending a half of your recreation hours with her. Last week I spoke to a man who just purchased a new boat, trailer, and all the gear. And he said, I'm going out to the bay and I'm fishing all the time now. And I said, that's really great. It's nice to be able to go out and relax and unwind and fish. It must be a good thing. Does your wife enjoy going? My wife wouldn't touch a fish. She won't even come in the garage and look at my boat. Yet he goes out. And I thought to myself, oh, foolish husband, you keep this up, going out on all of your free time, using all of your recreational hours by yourself or with that buddy husband of yours, and your marriage is going to be deflated. We must spend time of recreation with our wives. And the fourth is this, as we pass on, and it's the most important. It's found in Ephesians 5:22. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I've read this verse many times in my life and was not really, really conscious of what it meant until studying about it. Husbands, love your wives. We've read that before. But it says, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. This is subjection on the part of one to another, and it is love, but it is not to be interpreted to imply inequality of position or privilege of the relationship. The subjection of the part of loving your wife, being the head of the wife, is not prompting complete discipline over, but it's the love. It's this subjection on your part that holds your wife in a degree of reverence. And gentlemen, you should hold your wife in reverence. Now, you should not love her more than God, but you should love her. And you must honor her. And in all the relationships of a husband with his wife, one should manifest the same spirit that Jesus holds to the church. If a husband wished a rule that would be short, simple, clear, and effectuous about the manner in which he should regard and treat his wife, he cannot find a better rule, one simple word, than here suggested. Even as Christ loved the church. This was the strongest love that has ever been manifested. It follows that a husband is in no danger of loving his wife too much, provided that he not love his wife more than God. We are to make the love for Christ, the love for the church, the model. He gave himself for it. He gave himself in death to redeem it. The meaning here is that, husbands, we are to imitate the Redeemer in this respect. As he gave himself to suffer on the cross to save the church, so are we to be willing to deny ourselves, to bear toil and trial, that we may promote the happiness of our wife. It is the duty of the husband to toil for her support, to provide for her wants, to deny himself of rest and ease if necessary in order to take care of her in sickness, to go before her in danger, to defend her if she is in peril. It is the duty of we husbands to be ready to die to save her, and why should we not? Why should we not be so? If we're all shipwrecked, and there's a single plank on which safety can be secured, should we not be willing to place her on that? if this is the only means of safety, even to the hazard of ourself. But there's more than implied here in this, than a man is to toil and even to lay down his life for his wife and the welfare of his wife. Christ, and this is a point that never struck me until recently, Christ laid down his life for the church. We are, as gentlemen, husbands, to lay down our life for our wife if need be. But there is more to it here. We are bound so to live as not to interfere with her salvation. We are to promote her salvation in every way possible. We are to furnish her all the facilities that she may need to enable her to attend to the worship of God and to throw no obstacle in her way. And if we are to set the example, then we are to counsel her if she needs counsel. We're to make the path of salvation easy for her as possible. If the husband has the spirit of self-denial, as did the Savior, we will regard no sacrifice too great to promote the salvation of our family. And husbands, this really is important. You are the band of the home. Keep it together. But you must keep it together in the Christ. And your duty, the Scripture says, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And so we've seen that the husband is the head of the wife. We've seen that the husband is to train up the children. We've seen that the husband is supposed to love his wife and be not bitter against his wife. And we've seen that the husband is to love the wife as Christ loved the church. In conclusion, husbands, we must cherish our wives. We must treat our wives not as conveniences or as one who plans, prepares, and executes meals, washes and irons clothes, and cleans the house and trains the children. Husbands must regard her not as lifetime saver, but as the one person whom it is our duty to cherish and love. People need people, husbands need wives. And to the husband I say, love your wife. Take time for her. Make sure that there's a time of every day when you just sit down and talk to her. Or maybe just hold her hand and not say a word. You take time for your wife. And the Scripture says this, you husbands, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, you husbands also in living with your wives, you must recognize that they are the weaker sex, and so you must treat them with respect, for they also will receive, together with you, God's gift of life. Husbands, do this so that nothing will interfere with your prayers. Amen. May we stand as we pray. Our Father, we thank you for thy word, which instructs us to so many things, and for the words that speak to us very clearly about the duties of a husband to a wife. We pray, our Father, that you will bless the husband's present, that we ourselves would prayerfully acknowledge the fact that we have been given a very precious gift, and that's the gift of a wife. We must make our wife that loving wife. We must love her and never be quarrelsome with her. We must respect her and uphold her and honor her and love her indeed as Christ loved the church. So bless, we pray, as we sing this concluding hymn, that we might truly belong to Jesus, and in turn our home would belong to him too. Amen. As we sing hymn number 258, it's a time for us all as husbands to reaffirm our devotion to our wife, but it primarily is a time for salvation. It is a time for you to make public that decision of last week or that decision in the camp this summer that you want to be a Christian. And if you are, come forward and be baptized and become a member of the church. It's a time to express your desire to perhaps unite with our church by the transfer of letter. Our church will be happy to write for your letter. So as we sing, "Now I Belong to Jesus," you make it your prayer, and you indeed will be blessed.